Well, then what's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today is, as it's really good news. It's such good news. It's God's calling us to perfection. And God's calling us to do the impossible. Today, in the Old Testament, the teaching that God had actually called his people to keep his commandments, knowing that they wouldn't, knowing in a way that they couldn't. When Moses went up to the mountain and he had chosen these people to be his own, he commanded them when he gave them the law to keep that law. And it's called a covenant between God and his people, the Jewish people. And this is the covenant. This today, the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and decrees. Be careful then to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. Today, you are making this agreement with the Lord. So this is going to be between the Jewish people and God. He has chosen them of all of mankind. Today, you are making this agreement with the Lord. He is to be your God, and you are to be his people, to walk in his ways and observe his statutes, commandments, and decrees, and to hearken to his voice. And today the Lord is making this agreement with you. You are to be a people peculiarly his own. So you're special. Of all of mankind, I have made them all, but I have chosen you as he promised you. And provided you keep all his commandments, he will then raise you high in praise and renown and glory above all other nations. He has made you, and you will be a people sacred to the Lord your God, as he promised. My beloved Christians, when you hear that, our brothers who are our ancestors and the Jewish people with whom God made this, Jesus has taken this same covenant, Jesus, this Son of God, who came into the world as a Jew, knowing that no one ever did before him. Remember the law, the commandments that God gave to Moses, those commandments, they never kept them. They always broke them. They remained unfaithful, 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 time after time after time after time. God called them. They continued to be unfaithful. The whole history of this Bible of the Old Testament, and it finally comes down to one person, and it said there will be an Anoim. There will be a small remnant. That remnant was one. She was Mary. She was conceived without sin, and she was going to be the one who was going to bear the Messiah. The history of the salvation of all of mankind is Jesus Christ. This is the good news. Although all of mankind had failed and God had called upon us, we have a whole history of failure and misery. Now God in today's commandment, and he is giving us a new commandment, because when he says, and he gathers us all at the Last Supper, and when he was with his apostles, and this is what we celebrate, you as Christians, I as Christians, I at my Mass today, he says to us, I want you to do this in memorial of what I'm going to do. The night before he died, he took this cup and chalice of wine, and he said over it and changed it into his blood at the Last Supper. He changed the bread at that Last Supper into his body. Take and eat. This is my flesh, which will be given up for you. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood in the new covenant, in the new testament, in the new agreement between God and man. I am giving you a new law. You have had the Ten Commandments. Now I am giving you a deeper law. It's going to be the commandment of love. And he has explained it to us and poured it out to us. This covenant, which he gave us in the book of Deuteronomy, is now going to be ratified and deepened. And that's what he's doing during this Lenten season. You have heard it said of old, he said, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not, whatever that is that we have heard of old. Now he's teaching us deeper and deeper commandments. He now is going to give us a powerful commandment. And this is new. And this is the covenant that he wants us to keep. And so, in the Gospel of Matthew, he continues on, you have heard that it was said, now this is to your ancestors, this is the Old Testament, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father, for he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. God has given us a commandment to love our enemy. That power that I have to do that is his power, since he is the only one. When God gave us the covenant, who could keep those laws with your whole heart and your whole soul? No one ever did, but Jesus. When Jesus came into the world, the only one who observed what God wanted him to do was Jesus. And that Jesus has so given himself to each of us through baptism that he in us has the power to love our enemy. I, you, of ourselves. You see, Christians are not the good guys. We are all bad. All of us. Maybe Buddhism, maybe Hinduism, maybe Islam, they all teach that there's good people and there's bad people. Christianity teaches we're all bad. There is only one good, and his name is Jesus. And he is giving each of us a power to love like he loves. The commandment of universal love, which includes the love of enemy, is given by only the Christians. There is no one else who teaches the love of enemies, and yet we have that power, and yet are we distinguished for that? And I am really particularly talking, especially to Catholics. What is it to be a good Catholic? To belong to your parish? To teach CCD? To contribute to the parish? What is it? What is that characteristic that distinguishes us from every other religion in the world? Because we love our enemies. We do good to those who hate us, and we pray for those who persecute us. This is our badge of distinction. This is what makes us peculiarly God's people. Jews don't teach it. Hindus don't teach it. Muslims don't teach it. We teach it. We not only teach it, but we practice it. When we have a Maximilian Kolbe who can stand right up and love those who are going to kill him, when we have these examples, one after the other after the other, but sad to say, we don't see that this is really our badge of distinction, that we, and so how important it is for the next 40 days. If you want to be a good Christian, and if you want to be a good Catholic, the most outstanding characteristic is that we love our enemies. And how important it is then that we get together in this Lenten season and go over, he in us wants to forgive. Has your spouse committed adultery? And you say, I just can't forgive you. I know a family, this girl, years ago, she accused her dad of molesting her. That family, for years and years, she hasn't seen them. He died. She didn't come near the, what is there that is so horrible and awful that we can't forgive? Jesus, who is in that daughter and in that father now, died, and he never wanted to see her again because she falsely accused him. And it really was. It amounted to a false memory syndrome. The whole thing was a terrible thing that until today, it has destroyed that family. I know a son who accused his dad of molesting his child. Horrible. When you receive a false accusation that it can come from your own child, what a wound that is. And yet, you, Jesus in you, has a power. Are you listening to whatever that is? If you have said about someone, I will never forgive that person for what he or she did to me, this is an important Lenten resolution. There is nothing that Jesus in you can't forgive. The power that is in me is not my own power. Christ in me has already forgiven every sin of every sinner in the world. If I have been offended and lied about and abused and hurt, he in me has power to forgive. If I have offended someone and done what is wrong to them, how important it is. Maybe the thing that person may not be ready to reconcile with me, but at least during this Lenten season, I can be reconciled with God. I can forgive myself for what I may have done, and I can forgive the other for not forgiving me. But my heart, why does God give us this commandment of love of enemies? Because it is the power in Jesus Christ to establish, listen well, a kingdom of peace. There is no peace without forgiveness. There is no peace without reconciliation. And he is the great reconciler, Jesus. There is only one who was capable of forgiving his enemy. That was Jesus Christ. This commandment, which is a new commandment that he has given us, I give you a new covenant in my blood. And this law that I give you today, the love of your enemy, is a very important commandment of my kingdom. Because if you are going to enter into my kingdom, then you are going to have to enter into that forgiveness and that love. And it is in my heart, and my heart is in you. And your heart and my heart become one heart when you and I forgive those who have offended us. This particular Lenten season is so important as we are just completing our first week of Lent. There's nothing more important in your prayer. Make a list of those whom you are alienated from, Make a list of those whom you carry wounds from in your heart and bring them to Jesus. Bring them to the deepest part of your own heart. This commandment that our Lord is giving us today, Jesus is telling us, love your enemies. Listen how he concludes that teaching. It's so powerful. As he continues in this teaching in Matthew, for if you love those who love you, what good is that? What recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? In other words, any other religion except mine. But now he concludes, so be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. How can I do that? I can't. He can. He is the only one. That last commandment there, and that last teaching, so be perfect. What he's saying to you and me is be me. Be one with me. Let me be in you and you in me. Be perfect. Just as I am perfect. Just as your Father in heaven is perfect. That perfection will bring you peace. And only the love of enemies will be that deepest test that we have arrived at the kingdom of God. In this Lenten journey, how important it is to make peace with our enemies. Unless we really go here, and where is that? Into the heart of Jesus. Unless we go there, we are not going to go very far for the rest of this Lenten journey. It's with him and through him and in him. As I begin to discover, and one of the things that I've been discovering in this first week, and as your priest and as your brother and as a fellow sinner, what I've seen over and over again is a new depth of love that is in me. You see, brother priests and bishops and people of God, since it is Jesus himself who is within you, that journey is going to be so important for the next 30 days of Lent as we keep going inward, down into ourselves, so that there we're going to find the Father, and there we'll find the risen Lord on Easter Day, and there we'll find the Holy Spirit. There we'll find Mary also on Easter morning. But unless you're willing to make this journey, especially with Jesus reconciling with your enemies, you're not going to get to Easter.
It's so dangerous, isn't it, Monsignor, when we don't have that reconciliation, when we may even respond to those enemies with a self-righteousness, with spiritual pride, with all these different weapons we think are virtuous and actually are releasing a sin onto others.
I often think, especially if there's a wound there that is not going to be healed by Jesus. You know, these festering wounds that I talk about and that I see in my own soul and in my family and those people that I minister to, the resentments, the hatreds, the bitternesses, they're like slivers that go underneath the skin and they fester. And you can tell you go near them and you touch them. And as we talked about yesterday, there's like an anger there. There's a pussiness. There's an unhappiness. And that's what prevents us. Why does Jesus want us to love our enemies? Because it's wounding us. Our hatred of our enemy doesn't wound our enemy. Our hatred of our enemy only wounds me. Our hatred of our enemy separates me from Jesus. There is only one who did that, and that's him. When I opened up this conversation, I said, we are not the good guys. So often we try to be the good guy. I want to be a nice person. You are not called to be a nice person. You are not called to be a good person. You are a sinner. Fundamentally, at the bottom of your heart, you need salvation. And the one who came into the depths of your sin is him. And he picked me up. So what am I going to go back to if I don't go to him? I'm going to go back to my own misery. The I that's in me is united now with him. And only he can pull me through and up. In this particular commandment of love your enemy, the I, who is my old self, the old commandment, the Old Testament here, will always fail. It always has. It always will. There's no one who succeeded in the love of the enemy except Jesus Christ. When he says, especially in that, if you read it again in Deuteronomy, I want you to do this with your whole heart and with your whole soul. Who did that? Only Jesus. God, who gave us that commandment and who gave us that promise, I will be with you and I will lift you up and honor you. And he will. It is the risen Lord that will be honored and glorified, because he always triumphs over sin and Satan and death. And one of these great enemies of our souls is hatred of our enemy. It's formidable. And anyone who has battled that temptation and that difficulty in his or her heart knows just how deep a wound. If someone deliberately offends you and destroys your good name, that is a very difficult wound to forgive. And so if that's what you're carrying, only Jesus can help you overcome that. If your husband has committed adultery, and you see that woman who he committed adultery with, this whole thing is so detestable to you, it's so horrible and repulsive to you, that only Jesus in you can really, in the depths of your soul, forgive that wound. And so when we begin to unite ourselves with him, this other false self can never supply. And thank you, Chris, for bringing that up, because I think so many of us try to be, I can't be a good person here. I can't be a good guy. These wounds are so deep that only he who is in me has the power to overcome them. And when I do, I thank him.
I think also, Monsignor, what you said yesterday was so powerful, in that it's the sin that you hate. You try to see the difference between, try to separate that person, the individual, the child born of woman, that, and the sin, the spirit of the sin that is working in them to shoot out at you. That's what you hate, is that spirit of that sin.
And it's to know that spirit also is a living spirit. So many times that we are unaware of the evil spirit that wants to come into us and destroy our peace.
Mm-hmm. Final thoughts, Monsignor?
The only religion in the world that teaches the love of enemies is Christianity. We are a people peculiarly his own. And this world will have peace when we Christians begin to live the commandment that Jesus has given us. Jesus is the King of Peace, and Jesus is the King who wants to reign through us and in us and with us. First, I must exhibit and show at this point of my Lenten journey that I want to be a man of peace, and that you can be a woman of peace, and that you can be a child of peace. The kingdom of peace is in you, and the kingdom of peace can come into the world through us. God bless.